Welcome to our discussion of the idea of tshuva. Is it one done? Isn't there just, you do tshuva and then you're done? You did tshuva last year? Who needs to do it again this year? In fact, Rav Nachman of Breslov says, Ashicha mala gadola itzalam. He says, Ashicha yichisoron gadol b'neim. He says, look, really, the shicha, forgetfulness, is really a great thing. But the world, they think that the forgetfulness is a bad thing. But in my eyes, there's something great about forgetfulness. Because if there was not forgetfulness, it would be impossible to do anything in the worship of God. If you'd remember all the things that you did until now, you wouldn't be able to raise yourself up in any way. So it would confuse you with all the things you would violate it. But now through forgetfulness, everything is in the past and it's all gone and you don't have to think about it anymore. It doesn't confuse you any further. So I'm not going to wrestle. You think, come on, come sit over here. That way. I'm not going to wrestle with suggesting that would be great. If we could just forget all the sins that we ever did, it'd be wonderful. We should forget. We should forget that we did the wrong thing. We talked Lashon Hara last Tuesday. We didn't observe Shabbos right 3 years ago. And and whatever it is, we should forget all that. It'd be wonderful. Wouldn't it be great if we could just forget everything? Okay. That's a perspective. Rav Tzadok, in fact, writes in the Rassisi Lila, one of his works, the Hasidic master, he says, Ki'il lo chadam yolam, it's as if he never sinned at all. He says, what do you mean? If you're a Baal Tshuva, that means that you once sinned. But if you're a Tzadik, that means you were always a Tzadik. He says, no, Baal Tshuva is also called a Tzadik Gomor, right? Why? Because the Tshuva uproots the past completely. And it's like Hataras Nedarim. What happens in Hataras Nedarim? I made a vow. It's a fact. You think? It's a fact that I made a vow. But since it was annulled, therefore that fact is undone. Just like annulment of vows undoes the past. And so too, the tshuva undoes the past. Wouldn't it be great if we could just undo the past? That's why many people say we start Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre. I mean, we're not doing Hataras Nedarim at night, and it's not a proper Beis Din, and there's a million different reasons why that's not really a good Hataras Nedarim. But we don't even do Hataras Nedarim. But we start with that concept because we want to remember the idea of Machikas Achet, the idea that the past could be totally transformed. Like Rav Nachman says, it'd be great to just forget everything in the past, forget all the mistakes you made. You wouldn't make so many mistakes in the future those who forget the past are destined to repeat it. How about those who remember all the mistakes they made are destined to make them again? This would be the philosophy based on Rav Nachman. However, we've got a verse. We've got a problem. The verse on the one hand in Psalm 51, on the one hand it says, Nunav, Herev Kabsin Navona, wipe out, take the soap and wash off all my sins, right? The Chatati Nechatati Tareni, and purify me from my sins. Tara, Rabbi Salvitch speaks about the idea of Tara, we purify the idea that we could, even after the base, we destroy them and keep and hold us back. We can still purify ourselves with a mikveh, with hope, with prayer, with tshuva. So the first verse says, clean me up, wash me off from my sins, purify me from my sins. And the next pasuk says, because I know my sins, and my sin is always before me. My sin is always before me. I thought Rav Nachman told us, well, it would be good if we could just forget all the past. You know. Comes the pasuk and says, my sin is always before me. And presumably David is talking, and he's talking about Bathsheba. The sin of Bathsheba is always in front of him. Some of the Baal Shech, other people talk about that in that context, that that's what the pasuk is talking about. What does it mean that your sin is always in front of you? I mean, after all, you go in Yom Kippur and you confess and you're about Shuvah. So why is your sin always in front of you? That always thinking about your sin, maybe you enjoy it when you think about it. So the Rashi says on Tehillim, a sin is always before me. Since I regret my sin and worry about it, it's as though it's constantly before me. I've continued to regret it, and I continue to worry about it. What do you think he's worried about? Good. So that one of these wearing it or doing it again. What else is he worried about? I'm never going to do it again. Correct. Whether he's forgiven. So since I'm always worried, therefore my sin is always worried. I'm asking God to purify me, but I'm always worried that he's not going to cleanse it. He's not going to wash it off. He's not going to use shampoo. And so, good. In fact, Rabbeinu Yonah says that worry about sin is one of the many, I think there's like 20 different cards, 20 different principles of tshuva. One of them is daiga. As they say in yeshivas, daiga, right? To worry. You should worry about, as Frank said, your punishment. There's some tshuva is very nice, but you got to wait until you have suffering and other things. And then he quotes a different pasuk until him. Lamed Ches Yutes 38:19. Ki avoni agid, I have to confess my sin. I tell my sin. Ed ag mechatzni, I worry about my sin. So the yagon, you have to have yagon. Yagon, sorrow for the past, and daiga, worry about the future. He claims the word worry is mostly about doing things again. Recidivism. If you look at the statistics under recidivism, it's very bad. So people tend to recommit the sins. So the daiga is for the future. So my sin is always before me because I'm always worried I may go back to it. Good. Moving on to page 2, the Al-Sheikh on the Psalms, he says, Rak ani edau tamid liyot doeg. Similar to the Rashi, he says, I put them always before me to worry about them. Umitaken tamid, and always to fix them. Not just worry, right? No point in just worrying. You worry so that you can fix things. Tamid, we were talking to someone the other day, why do Jews complain so much? A lot of complaining. Why do we complain? Some rabbis complain that rabbis Americans complain too much, right? Because I think Rav Noach Weinberg said, someone quoted that, that if you're always complaining about everything, it means you want to fix everything. You don't like it. You don't just say, oh, it's a nice city. It's good. Oh, let's put up your feet. Rather, you always say something can be fixed. So we're worrying to fix it. As long as I remember, you'll erase it. So he says as follows. Shavon shadam, the last two words on the second. Avon shadam shocheach. The sin that you forget, that's what God is going to remember. Zocher kol nishkachot. What does the Chazan say? God remembers all the things that are forgotten. What does that mean? That way, if you don't remember your sin, God will remind you that you did your sin. However, zochro, v'asher adam zocher, who is parach mavir. If you remember and you admit your sin, you remember what you did. God says, okay, got it. You learned your lesson. You learned your lesson. I'll forget it. No, why forever? Why do we have to remember it forever? I thought about this once, early days of my rabbi in Anshe. Some people, particularly people who are Baal Tshuva, were very disturbed by this. Really, I have to keep bringing up the fact that I was a Baal Tshuva and I did all these things before. Is that what I need to do? So why do that? So we said, Rashi said, you should always be worried about that. Maybe you didn't do Tshuva, maybe in the past, maybe you didn't fix it. Maybe you're going to do it again. Good. And maybe you'll learn to fix it. So that's another thing. Now, the Gemara in Yuma quotes this pasuk, but as part of a debate. Tana Rabbanan, we learned that rabbis taught, Aver Shriz Vadalaymer Yom Kippur, Zen, Lo Yiz Vadalaymer Yom Kippur Machir. Do not go back to the sin. It is one and done. You're done. You don't have to worry about it again. However, if you did do it twice, okay, fine. You did the sin again, then you'd have to confess again. Of course, the truth of last year doesn't help the fact that I did it again this year. If you do it again, you have to confess again. If you're done with it and you go back and you confess it, Allah, you know what the pasuk says about you? Proverbs says, just like a dog goes back to his own vomit and eats it, so too a sinner goes back to his sin. He goes back to it, and here it goes back to do what? What does he go back to do? He goes back to do the sin. He goes back to confess this. Just going back to confess this is like going back to our own things that we ate and regurgitated. Good. That's one opinion. Should not reconfess your sins. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. We say Mishnah's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Kavanaki. When Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov teaches something, it's very
clean. It's very good.
What did he teach? It's great if you could keep repeating every year, confessing the things you did in 1973. It would be wonderful. He quotes the pasuk in Tehillim Nun Aleph 51, Psalms, that what? My sin is always before me. So why does it say, why? What does it mean that your fool goes back to his vomit? So the answer is, that's if you did a sin and you kept doing it again, that would be, then it's as if you, think it's permitted. You think it's as if you're allowed to do it because you keep doing it over and over again. That's what that verse means. But the truth is, the main verse, the operative verse, is not that you shouldn't be like going back to the things that regurgitated. Rather, the operative verse is, my sin is always before me. That's what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said. Now, you might say the majority opinion was you shouldn't repeat it. So if I was the Rambam and I have to decide what to do, I would say, well, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is one person. Or maybe you would say, no, Mishnah's from Rabbi ben Yaakov Kavinaki, whatever Rabbi ben Yaakov taught, it was so clean, should follow Rabbi ben Yaakov. But it's interesting, we'll see in a minute that some people reverse the order here. I said the majority is like Rabbi Elazar over here. What does Rashi say on the Gemara? Rashi on the Gemara. Eini savur shechapartali. My sin is always because of one of the options that Frank mentioned. I don't think that you forgave me. It's always in front of me because I'm thinking maybe he didn't forgive me. I don't know. Rabbi Yashiv has comments on Rashi to clarify. Rabbi Yashiv, who lived recently, Rashi, he says, how do you know? Maybe he didn't do complete. What do you mean? The topic of this lecture is, you know, do I have to? Is it one and done? Do I have to go back to sins I already confessed last year? Already did tshuva last year. He says, what do you mean you already did tshuva last year? You know that your tshuva was good? Someone says he's a Baal tshuva. You know that you're a good Baal tshuva? How do you know? So it's a matter of incompleteness. And if you could have complete tshuva, this Rashi would say, I wouldn't have to worry. I'm not worried about the future. But you never know. How do you know if your tshuva is complete? As we said in the Rambam the other day, tshuva has to be accepted. The kubelas, right? If God doesn't accept it, it doesn't work. So it's not a one-way street. Yerushalmi has a similar version of this, but they have a little more give and take there. Tani learned in a braisa. You don't have to confess again for sins you already confessed. If you did, it's like you're going back to the regurgitation. Tani Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, they call him Rabbi Elazar in the Yerushalmi. He says, Zohar's Bnizkar would be terrific. You should get reward for being so fastidious and such alacrity. My time is Rabbi Elazar. What's Rabbi Elazar's reasoning? So he says, Chadin Agdi Tamid. What did Rabbi Elazar do with the pasuk of going back to your regurgitation? He said, that's if someone repeats it. What would the rabbis do with Rabbi Elazar's pasuk? He says, Ki ilo asan el ksha asan nivrim kala. You shouldn't think of your sins, say the rabbis who say that you should not go back to it. You shouldn't think of it as if you never did it. You should think of it as if you did it, but you were forgiven for it. So here, even the rabbis who say that you don't have to confess it again, they're saying your sin is always there. You should say, look, I'm about you. I don't have to worry about any sins. You know why? Not because I didn't do them. I remember that. But rather because he forgave me. So they're not saying that you want to erase the past because, you know, you don't want people thinking about their sins. You don't want to go back to that, you know, pile of dirt. Rather, because you should remember, that you were forgiven. That's an interesting, point. Now, the Bnei Moshe is his commentary on the Yerushalmi there, and he says, I retranslated this section. The rabbis who say that you should not repeat your confession each year say that the verse of my sins before me always means that you should not view it as if you did not do it ever, rather that you should recall that you did and repented and were forgiven, and that way you will avoid doing it again, for perhaps you will not be able to do tshuva again. I got a clean slate. Yeah, but you did sins years ago. No, I got a clean slate. Why do you have a clean slate? Because God forgive me. Why do you do it? Because I poured my heart out like David. I fell on the floor. I didn't eat for 3 days, and I did a terrific tshuva. So he says, you know what? I'll do it again. I'll, you know, after the Yeshua, I'll do my sin again. I'll do tshuva. He said, no, no. That was serious. It was hard work. And this time I got forgiveness. I don't know what's going to happen next. So the reason that you don't want to forget your sins is because you don't want to forget how hard it is to do it. Now, the Midrash Chilim, Shochar Tov, some people call it Shochar Tov, has a different version. Here, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, in the second line, says whatever you already confessed, you are forbidden to confess again. That's what he says again. And then he says, Rabbanan Amru, about four lines down to the end, Rabbanan Amru, the rabbis say, the majority say, you have to repeat again because it says, well, the other rabbi said, what do you mean? If you don't have to confess your sins every year, why does it say my sins are always in front of me? So they're always in your mind. It looks like you're not done yet. You're done, but you don't have to put it with your mouth. That's the other opinion. So if you follow the Midrash Tilim, majority opinion, it says you should not repeat it. In fact, the Rambam says you do have to repeat your sins every year, even if you confess the year before. There are other reasons for this. So if that's the halacha, that you do have to confess your sins every year, we really need to understand this better. Why? Why so? Betty did beautiful tshuva last year. Let's assume you didn't just clap, beat your chest a little bit. Let's assume you really poured your heart out and you really did tshuva last year. So why should you have to do it again? What we said so far, Daiga, different reasons. Let's look at some other reasons. This is Zohar. The Zohar says that the first time you did a sin, Rashim hu chove le'el, le'ela, that there's a mark that's made above. And then, if you did it again, chadchav le'be zimna t'nenya, the second bold section, if you did it a second time, t'akafahu rashim le'yatir, it gets a little bit stronger. That roshim, that impression that the sin made up in heaven, it gets stronger. And if you keep doing it, it gets even stronger. You get to a point where your sin is so stained in front of God, you can't get rid of it. So it could be that why, according to this, why can't you, why do you have to keep confessing it? You know why? And not according to this. Zohar? It's still there. There's a spiritual thing. There's always giving us a secret into the way the world works. And you have a sin, it makes a mark. Now, if you only did it once, it's a light mark. If it's not, it's a heavy mark. So, there's a mark. It's there. You gotta keep, there's nothing you can do about it. Good. Now, could there be other, certain types of tshuva that could erase it? I'll talk about that later. Now, the Al-Shrikh Ambrishis says this idea that the Adam and Eve who sinned and then presumably they repented at some point. We mentioned in Tzlichos the other day that Adam and Eve repented. Adam is one of the models of tshuva. When was that? That was the other day we had in Tzlichos. So there's an image there that they realized that they were naked. And they use the fig leaves. So what does that mean? He says, he compares it to the pasuk of Acharei Shuvinu Kamti, pasuk in Yirmiyah, Lamed Aleph, that after I did tshuva, I felt bad, and then I banged myself on my knee. So what does it mean? He says, Acharei Hivadi Ki Arum Anochi, when I realized I was naked from Kedusha, that I wasn't holy enough, wasn't kosher enough. Ki adati yadatzmi ki lo tzadikani. When I realized I'm not a tzaddik, as much as I thought I was, like Adam thought he was a tzaddik, he wasn't a tzaddik. Azni tzaddi, and Yirmiyah banged himself on his knee. And Kara, the same thing. Kara lada mechava. Same thing happened to Adam and Chava. Yisayus hichzinayim labita merasam. When they opened their eyes, God opened their eyes, and they were able to see how bad they were. They realized they were naked of what? Of kedusha. And that was tov seichel. That was very good on their part. Shulobit is against nature. Alkim bachruba tzadav yamad. They followed David's idea. Chatatinek di tamid. My sin is always before me. That maybe, I think he's alluding to the idea that the fig leaves or from the fig. What was the tree that they ate from the Mishnah? Some people say the fig. Why they put the leaves on? What's the answer? What's the Tanakh answer to why they put the fig leaves on? Because they wanted their sin to be before their eyes. That was the fruit. So they wanted to lizkor tamid masha chatu b'pir. They should always remember what they stand in terms of sexually. This is, it sounds like a Christian interpretation. The other, there was a sexual sin there as well. But anyway, the point is that he says this might be the reason as well for tzitzis. That tzitzis also is a reminder of the sins. You want to have the sin in front of you. Maybe it's the sin of the spies, perhaps, Parsha Shlach. Perhaps the tzitzis is a constant reminder that we did sin. Why do you always want to remember that you did sin? But the point is that to uncover your nakedness, to realize how flawed you are, that don't think you're such a big tzaddik. We'll get back to that point later. One of the Yafos was a student of Magid of Medrus, and he says a couple of things. He talks about it in a few different places. In the first source, which was on page, what page is this? We're on page three. This Talmud of Magid of Medrus, he says like this. Kol she'achzor miyad yom biyomo akir yoter da pesha. In bold, he says, if you go over their sin every day, you recognize it more. That's why it's always negdi tamid. Think about it. Some people say, really, we should be killed for every sin we do. It would be like the first sin of Adam. We should be killed for everything because it's rebellious. It's against God. But the greatness of the rebellion is not always recognized. So therefore, the more you think about it each day, you can realize the truth of the depth of the merit of the rebellion, and every day it's like I don't fully recognize it. I think about it, I can't believe I did that. Right, the more you get onto a higher level, you look back and you say, I can't believe I did that, and you can't believe it even more each time. That's why you need to keep going back to it each year. Elsewhere, the Panim Yafos and Eschanan says, You know what grows? Not your recognition, but how great your rebellion was. How great God is. The more you realize how great God is, the more you realize how much the rebellion was worse. So how long does it take a person to realize the greatness of God? How long? How long would you say it takes to realize the greatness of God? Well, there's another question. Do you ever fully recognize the greatness of God? No. So really, it's an unending process. So he says, second to last line toward the end, you can't get to the essence of the knowledge of God. Therefore, therefore you can't know how bad your rebellion was. He doesn't realize how great he was. One time I was in it. She go over the head with one of those poor things. It was very nice. He left the kid joke. But anyway, so unless he realized how great she was, then he's not going to realize. But right, the more Torah he learns, Rebbe, the more he realizes, oh yeah, I can't believe I didn't do it. Rebbe's such a beautiful Torah. Hand over there. So that's why. So at first he just says, well, you know, every year you think about it more, how bad it was. And the second time he thought about it again, and the Panim Yafos says, no, your knowledge of God hopefully grows with your whole life, but it never ends. So you never end realizing how badly you rebelled. The Morden Ruchim talks about this, and he says, of course you need it. It's part of the 12-step program. It's part of your recovery program. You need to know what you did wrong so you can do better. Because for the Rambam, a lot of tshuva is not about a particular sin you did. It violated Shabbos. It has something to do with character. A lot of things tshuva has to do with character. So if you violated an element of stingy, you have to know how stingy you were, so you spend more money. If you realize you were too focused on pleasure, then you should you know, make you fast and things like that. So you have to know what's the plan, what's your program of recovery. So you, in order to get the program of recovery, you know, what was your addiction? What was your problem? So, so clearly for the Rambam, there's a very practical reason why you have to remember your sin. Otherwise, you won't know what program of tshuva you need to take for the rest of your life. The Malbim on, it has to be in Vayikra, he talks about this. He says, he's talking about, you know, Vayikra, atonement from sins and sacrifices and all that. He says, even if God doesn't, he'll forgive you, he won't be so mad. Good. God may have forgiven me. He says, God is very nice. So sometimes your father, I think, right, Rosh Yeshiva, who hit him over that. He's a nice fellow. He let the kid stay in the yeshiva. But the kid should start to realize what he did. That's why your sin is always before you. You should be ashamed of it. Because it's okay. So that God got over it, but you shouldn't fully get over it. Actually, Slicha Gemura, he says, this problem says there is a point where you could get, you could remove the sin and forget about it. When? When that should that would truly happen. That's a result about the Rambam, the way to go about based on the Rambam, that there's a point where you reach Tshuva mehava, tshuva out of love. Tshuva is not out of fear, but out of love and for closeness with God in a relationship. At that point, it's as if you're a totally different person, and then the sin is gone. So even the Malbim, there is a limit. But first, he says that there's from God's perspective and our perspective. From God's perspective, it may be erased. You already did tshuva last year and did a great job. My perspective, I continue to be ashamed of what I did. Rabbi Yochanan Lubavitch. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Salvejik once asked a room full of Baal Tshuva, I told him 30 years ago, a room full of Baal Tshuva. He says, how many people are in Baal Tshuva? Of course, in the 70s, half the room raised their hand. So he said, you're none of you are Baal Tshuva. He was a little bit, with the students, you know. But he deserves, he was big enough to do that. So, none of you are Baal Tshuva, because if you're Baal Tshuva, you have to be ashamed. And if you're telling me you're Baal Tshuva, you're not Baal Tshuva. So, you know, you can't take that too far. I mean, from a marketing perspective, I don't know, you know, you're running Yeshiva Torah. That's not a very good perspective, right? You got to give people a break at some point and tell them, that's okay, now you can be president of the show. Okay. Anyway, Rabbi Yochanan Lubavitch, the Mashgiach from Mir, his father was a big darshan. So he said that what? The bottom page 4, the last two bold lines. Apikruach nefesh achigodol. The greatest thing you got to watch out for, you better die than to not do this. You've got to know what your sin is. You have to know exactly what your sin is. And your sin should always be in front of you. You should never forget about it. That's the whole idea of rebuke. The idea of rebuke is not telling people to do that. It's true, you know, tomorrow and do much better. I'm going to wear tits and do everything. That's not it. No, you're not a tzaddik. That's the ikkar. Someone turned to me before Rosh Hashanah. He said, "You know, he was a very pure, innocent guy. He couldn't picture what he did wrong. So I'm sure he's a big tzaddik. But the point is that we need to know that. Levar al mchadal legalot avano, page 5." Don't make yourself, don't think you're a tzaddik. Elachot, you should know your chote ufosheani. That Moshe was always berating everybody. As if he for the 40 years, he never thought the Jews had any good qualities. Like certain parents, right? They never thought you had to think good about yourself. And there's a point where it's abusive. And there's a point where, you know, the kid, like, becomes president of the United States because nothing was good enough. You only got an A, you got an A plus. And there is something to that. So he's always calling the Jews, Mamri Mayitim Hashem, and told them 2 times and 3 times that what? They shouldn't forget. Zachor al Tishrei, don't forget your sins. The whole Devarim is filled with telling them, don't forget how sinful. Don't forget. Don't think you're a tzaddik. You're not coming to Israel because you were a big tzaddik. Idiyas Achei is the most important thing. That's what it means. Chatati al Nevi Tamei. My sin should always be before me. That's how I can improve. By knowing that I'm not such a big tzaddik. But the end of the paragraph, Zachor al tishkach levli hasiach, das minachei, don't forget, don't take your mind away from the sin. They always put it in front of you. That's where you have atzlacha as a worshiper of God. Atzlacha, the success comes in knowing that. So, a lot of different sources, a lot of different ideas. I wanted to sum it up. Eight points that make let's summarize. What have we said? So Rashi Ansam says that why is it good for my sin to be ever present with me? Rashi Ansam says it makes him worry about repeating it. If you don't do that, you might come to repeat. Was there the famous saying that what? That a person should never trust themselves because hooray, Yochanan Kohen Gadol was Shimei Zekuna Gadol 80 years and then he became happy. So you should never I don't believe yourself, trust yourself until the last day of death. Because you could always slip. So the Daiga, Rabbeinu Yonah says that worry makes you concerned about your tshuva that wasn't on par with the sin, right? The sin was so big that the tshuva was this was clopping on the heart and it wasn't good enough. Auschwitz says it keeps them vigilant and always worried. It's like the fig leaves of the tzitzis. The Jerusalem Talmud, according to Rabbi Elazar, says, recall forever that you were forgiven. And he says, because you may not be able to achieve that again. Remember how hard it was to get from point A to point B. You might think like, okay, I did it once. And then I undid it. And then I did it again. And I undid it. Don't forget, you forget that it was hard work to get to the clean slate. Then you went back again. How are you going to get back? And of course, it gets harder each time, as the Zohar already told us. The stain gets worse. Measure's children, according to the sages, is that, again, we're not really talking about this interpretation, but according to those who interpret this verse, saying that you don't have to go back every year, not with your lips, but with your mind, everyone agrees. In our mind, it always has to be present. Zohar said it actually does cause a stain, so that's why we have to keep it there, keep it in front of our mind, because it's always there. He says that Rabbani Yafo says, you want to grow in your depth of your knowledge of the rebelliousness each year, or that maybe as you get to know God more, there's an unending process of getting to know God more, and that helps you. That's how bad the sin is. Page six. Number six, the Rambam says, sin is a guide to how to repent. What is needed to stay far away from this flaw? I need to know what the flaw is. What does the Malvim say? Number seven, God may forget you, but you should remember until you're ashamed to be ashamed. And it turns from tshuva to love, because tshuva out of love, that would become a merit. And then the Gemara says that your sins and your intentions become righteous deeds. Yerucham Lavavitch, finally number eight, says your spiritual success depends on not taking an attitude that you're a tzaddik. All mercy begins with recognizing the sins of the past. The worst thing is to be a state. We're in Ashram Tolu. You're not sure if you sin. Did I share about this? I talked about this, that the Ashram, what's the Ashram Tolu? What do you mean? Maybe I didn't sin. Why should I bring a sin offering? Maybe I didn't sin. When I find out if I sinned or not, I'll bring it. Just no. You're in a state, you're not sure if she was a shivka, if she was a Memphis leish or not. You're in that situation. What are you doing? You ate some chalev. How'd you get in that situation? So it'd be a sign to know when you're sinning, when you're not sinning. Now, finally, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, is tshuva a continuum of your life? You had the life of sin, then you continue along and you do tshuva. Or no, it's a hefsek. You have your life, the sinner, stop, chitza, and then you have the rest of the life. I mean, mekayemes is avar. Does it enliven the past? Does it sort of reimagine the past? Or mevatelas also legame, or it takes the past and it throws it in the garbage can. That depends on the type of tshuva. Yes, tshuva shel hamshech. There are some tshuvas that they're just in a continuation of your life of sin. And it recognizes this the past was still there. It does claim that there is a tshuva that biur mukhlat shel ra'ah, it becomes totally wiped out. There's a radical notion that, this is a very dangerous notion, the value of sin, meaning, right, the tshuva that you notion that it's better to be about tshuva than a plain tzaddik it could be a dangerous idea, right? I mean, through the sin, you come to a greater level, and you could say that tonight. You could say, oh, why should your sin always be before you? Because through sin, you grow through the sin. be careful. We don't want to be like the Sabbateans or their followers, the Frankists, who said that, you know, we're gonna go higher. So then we'll do more sin so we can go even higher. So obviously we don't want to go in that direction. But is there something where your future as a tzaddik is going to grow on the sin that came before? You're going to use that to propel you. So it's an interesting. This question of just to elaborate a bit, you know, is it part of a dark past to be discarded, or is it part of being about tshuva is to sort of reimagine that those tendencies you had? Does the sins you did in the past somehow feed the new righteousness? What else? Rabbi Lichtenstein said that the essence of tshuva is nachkara derachinu v'nachkora neshuva elach. That's nachkara. It is thinking about our sins, nachkara derachinu of doing an inventory of our lives. That's where tshuva comes from. So if I sin, but let's not discuss that. What I say, let's worry about how many mitzvahs I'm going to do this year. Let's not worry about what I did wrong last year. So it lacks a certain they quote Socrates regarding the Bali Musa quote Socrates that an un what are they, an unconsidered life is not worth living, something like that. An unthoughtful life is not worth living. So there's that idea. He also said, very Lichtenstein was quoted by his son as saying that William James, who wrote the Religious Experiences, he says he was very excited about the idea of, you know, born again, that some people, they have a whole new life. They're born again. They have a second, they're twice born. So Rabbi, and we know that Christians use that expression, born again. But Aaron Lichtenstein says, he says, I think we're really just born once. So what was he saying? That there is some continuity. The idea of chatadin and agdi tamid means I'm not a completely new person. The word, I could go back to that. That there's a tendency to recidivism. So, and that's why I'm going to protect myself from going back to it, because I'm aware of that tendency that's within me. And I'm going to work on those particular things. So therefore, I don't want to be born again. I'm born again, I forget that part of me has that tendency. But of course, we have to balance this with the idea of tshuva mi'ava, the tshuva out of love, which purifies and cleanses. And Rambam says, you're a different person. You're not even the same person anymore. So we have to sort of balance between everything we said tonight and the notion of the Rambam that out of tshuva mi'ava, Rambam alluded to, tshuva out of love, you become a complete, you are born again. So how do these two things come together? They may not. It could be that tonight we're talking about the person just did a regular tshuva. The person that reached the level of tshuva mi'ava, whatever that is, great love. Then maybe the whole shiur would be, you know, out the window, would be a different story if we're talking about the tshuva out of love, a different type, kind of tshuva. Kind of tshuva we generally do with the clapping al chayt and a little changing of our ways. That's probably everything we said tonight is probably retained. And we always have to worry, did we do tshuva well enough to really wipe out the sin completely? So that's a good thing. And questions or comments on this? Are you saying Nachman is a Rebbeim? Right. One is the tshuva? Right. That could be. But so can anyone suggest that Nachman is a person do the considered life, and then you do tshuva, you're done. But that's what I think Moshe Lichtenstein was trying to say, that in Aaron Lichtenstein's writings, he was saying that tshuva is not a one and done. Tshuva is a way of life. In other words, it's really just doing Torah mitzvahs. There's a general question, why do you need tshuva altogether, right? You should just do the mitzvahs and don't do sins. So in many ways, tshuva, especially if you think of tshuva, as the Rambam's, you read the Rambam about tshuva that the shofar tells us to do, really is search your ways and do more mitzvot. So it's in that sense, it's a continued process of Tshuva in general is not just once. It's a constant mitzvah. Ram says that the special time for it is this time of year, but really it's a constant obligation of tshuva as well. You know, even though Ram says, even though tshuva is always good, this time of year it's more effective, etc. It's always there. So if it's always there, so is the contemplative mitzvah. That's a good question. Very good. All right, Yisrael Lechem, thanks for joining us. And Ovadia, thanks for joining us as well.
Thank you, Rabbi.